T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com.
What, as far as I know, every other NBA franchise does, and I'm sure they have their reasons for doing it, but I'm not smart enough to understand what the reasons could be. Like, it also keeps the fans on edge. Like, how many people do you have text you yesterday? Is Ja playing? What do you know about Ja? Like, why do you want your fans on edge all the time, wondering if their franchise star is a little bit injured but maybe coming back? Not to mention you've got people thinking about going to game 5. You know, like, shouldn't you be honest with your customers? Hey,
well, and then doesn't gambling play into this too? Like, the FanDuel, you know, they are, as we know, partners with FanDuel Sportsbook. And it seems to me that, like, in the end, you're wooing bettors out there. That's what they've decided to do. Like, they're in bed with bettors and with whatever, and part of that is being straight with your injury reports.
Yeah, I don't know about the gambling aspect too much, because that stuff all gets worked out, you know. Like,
right.
But among the reasons the NBA wants you to be transparent is because of the betting market.
Right.
You know, they don't want any funny business
in that area.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but, like, more to the point, it's like, just do what everybody else does. Like, you know, at this point, I'm assuming Golden State probably. I mean, these players talk to each other. I bet you there's people in Golden State's locker room who knows. Like, I bet you Draymond. The guys in the Golden State locker room probably know more about what's going on with Ja Morant than Grizzlies fans right now. So the idea that you're getting over on the Warriors, that seems unlikely to me. And again, from a customer's perspective, why do you want your fans wondering if Ja's coming back, giving them false hope? If he's actually sidelined for the foreseeable future, if you put me in charge, I would want to go ahead and let my fan base know that. But, you know, I'm not in charge. And broadly speaking, they do a good job over there. This is just one area that has never made a lot of sense to me.
Isn't it bizarre that Draymond Green doesn't get more technicals? Like, I guess it's not bizarre. Like, in the end, you can't give someone a technical every time they But, like, it is true, like, there's a double standard. Like, if you talk enough, there's a different threshold for you, it feels like. It is kind of amazing how he acts after every freaking call.
Well, it's almost like with referees and Draymond, it's like being in an abusive relationship. like the referees walk away from, like, somebody else, like an outsider, would be like, why didn't you give him a technical for yelling at you like that? Well, all he did was yell. He didn't hit me this time. You know? It's like, yeah, you can't tee somebody up every time they yell at you. But the counter argument to that is, tee them up every time they yell at you, and eventually they'll stop yelling at you. Like, isn't that what you do as a parent? Like, hey, put your shoes on. You don't tell me what to do. Yes, I do tell you what to do, and we're going to solve this right now, because I'm not going to listen to you say, you don't tell me what to do every time I ask you to do something. In my own household, we haven't quite figured that out, how to handle that yet. But we're working on it. We're trying to move the right direction. But that's exactly what it is. These refs feel like, well, you can't every time. Draymond's going to yell at you about everything. You can't give him a tech every time he yells at you about everything. But I do wonder if you just hit reset on that and said, we are going to, you're not going to talk to us like that. Next time you get in my face, it's a tech. Get into it again, that's another one. You'll be gone. And you do that enough, you know, if you can train dogs to go outside and use the bathroom, you can teach Draymond Green how not to yell at officials every time he's bothered by something. You just have to hold him accountable. The refs don't do it, and so he does absolutely get away with a lot.
You know, you can also train dogs. I saw this on YouTube last night, because you can see anything on YouTube, Gary. You can train dogs to hit buttons, and there's a voice connected with the button. So the button will say, food, and they put the button and then they hit that and it says food. I don't know if they attach meaning to the word and then you give them food or water or out. But the one I really liked was this dog. It said love. The button said love. And the dog would like hit the button and love. And they go, yeah, you're a good dog. And it would hug him. And then he'd stop and then he hit it again. And it was just great. So I have hope for Draymond Green, you know?
I would just like to teach a dog how not to chase every kid on the bike down the street. That's all I'm working on right now. We could get to love and food later. Right now we're just trying to work
don't
on.
Don't chase every kid down the street.
Yeah, because, like, that's a hard life. We just got our there was problems with our fence that weren't really problems, but, you know, there was something that needed to be addressed. Like, if we were going to sell the house, we would fix these things. And we just had that done strictly to keep the dog in the backyard when he's not in the house because we were tired of chasing him every day. Like, we've actually made – I don't even know how much this dog costs, but now whatever it costs, it also costs whatever we just paid to address these home improvements strictly because of this dog. It's outrageous, the decisions he makes in life sometimes.
At least I didn't
break anybody out of prison, so I'm doing better than that. I'm doing better than that woman.
I'll talk to you at 5. Thanks, GP. Appreciate it. I'm super late. There you go. I went way over. We got to get to Chris Harrington. He said he's got time, even though he's flying back from California. So we'll talk to Chris next. Then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the West Coast on the ServiceMaster by Cornerstone phone line, it is Chris Harrington who joins us. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Come Back from San Francisco by The Magnetic Fields, one of their 69 love songs, triple album from about 20 years ago. Coming back from San Francisco, what Drew and I are doing today.
When is your flight? You're still there. Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised you were available to do this hit.
Well, I mean, I didn't. It was like 2 a.m. by the time, you know, I got to bed. So I wasn't trying to get to the airport at 6.
Right.
So
it's just a long way.
A few hours.
I say, oh, well, good. Yeah. Good. I always find that uncivilized to, to be up writing till 2 or 3 and then to be there at 7. But so I like your approach. I think that makes a lot of sense. So anyway, and the Grizzlies have no availability today in any event. So you have a piece up about the Grizzlies and about Dylan Brooks. And the amazing thing about the piece is you found someone in last night's crowd, other than Dylan Brooks, wearing a Dylan Brooks jersey. Who was this person?
Well, the amazing thing was, like, I went, as I tend to do, you know, on the rare occasions I'm at a road arena,
yeah,
I always walk the full loop of the concourse before the game just to soak in the atmosphere.
Yep.
And so I walked the full loop, and I didn't see anything. I thought I wasn't expecting to see a Dylan Brooks jersey. I thought maybe I'd see some anti-Dylan Brooks T-shirts or something, right?
Right.
I walked the full length of the concourse, didn't see anything interesting. Went back to the media room and got my stuff and started walking up to where we were sitting inside the arena. And at one point, I looked up, and two people in front of me walking up the steps was a kid wearing a Dylan Brooks jersey.
That's ballsy, I got to say. That's ballsy.
I was proud. I was proud of the kid. So I went up and talked to him, and his name's Jacob Mann, which is in the story. Asked his dad, said, Dylan Brooks jersey, huh? And his dad sort of smirked and shook his head, said, yeah, that wasn't my idea. And it turns out, I thought maybe, you know, I didn't think they'd come from Memphis. So I thought maybe they were, you know, people right. who, you know, from Memphis and now live in displaced. The Bay Area. Mm-hmm. I had lunch 2 days before with my friends Bobby and Brooke, who used to live in Memphis, now in the Bay Area. And Brooke was wearing a Grizzlies jersey walking around, you know.
Yeah.
But it turns out this family was not from Memphis. But Jacob, the kid in question, was a St. Jude patient. And when the family was in Memphis, you know, while he was getting treatment, his little sister was born in Memphis. And so, as the dad said, Memphis is close to our hearts. And so, but I asked him, like, so why the Dylan jersey? And he sort of smiled, you know, mischievously and said, well, you know, my John jersey was still too big, so I just decided to wear this one. And then he sort of gave me a look. And so this kid was there for it.
If, listen, if he had the courage to go through what he went through at St. Jude, doesn't surprise me. He had the courage to wear a Dylan
That's
Brooks
right.
jersey in the course of.
He is tough enough to take it. There's no doubt about that.
And we'll get to Dylan Brooks' performance in a minute. But it sounds like the mayhem directed at Dylan Brooks was not, like, yes, he was booed. But, like, the whole crowd, honestly, it wasn't, given that it was a taught game and whatever else, I think you said the Minnesota crowd is hungrier. It just feels like it wasn't that unruly last night.
No, the Dylan Brooks boo was pretty hefty on the opening introductions, and then for the first touch and the second touch and the third touch. But then, like, the energy of, oh, we got to boo Dylan every time right. he touches the ball really dissipated after that. It picked back up late in the fourth quarter. But I really think it was when I walked the concourse and saw no evidence of anything. Like,
right.
you know, in the past, you know, the Grizzlies people would have, like, those fat heads of, like, you know, I remember with the Eva Longoria fat head when Tony Parker was in town or whatever.
Right.
The sense you got was, like, you know, we are above, like, caring too much about this dude was sort of more the vibe.
Yeah, it was weird. The Grizzlies fans are more committed to the fake grudge that is Andre Iguodala than they were to the real grudge that is Dylan Brooks. So, all right, the performance was just an all-timer from a Dylan Brooks perspective. And GP and I were just talking about, like, what do you do when a guy is obviously critical to your defensive effort, when he gets 8 assists, when he has been, you know, part of what you've done over the past few years and part of building this, and yet is repeatedly taking ridiculous shots and not making them. And Gary said, I would have sat him down. He said, it just comes a time, and that you can't have a conversation with him to say, yo, Dylan, maybe not your night. How about just reining in a little bit, buddy? Go to the hole, do what you do, but make sure your shots are good ones. Doesn't think you can have that conversation with him. What do you, or maybe there's just to let Dylan be Dylan. Like, how do you manage what was just a disastrous and sabotaging offensive performance?
Well, I think in retrospect, in hindsight, it would have been the right move to pull him in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game. I don't think over the course of the game. To me, like, I tweeted at one point, like, everyone's clowning Dylan Brooks, and for good reason, but, like, I trust him more than, like, the alternatives. The alternatives, remember, are, like, John Conchar, Zaire Williams, D'Anthony Melton. Those are your alternatives, for the most part. Like, once you get to the end of the game, you can put Kyle Anderson at the three with Steven Adams and have a different look if you want it. But over the course of the game, like, as bad as his offense was, I don't think if you take the first 30 minutes he played and replace those 30 minutes as one of those other three guys, I don't think you're in as good a position in that game. Now, the last 2 or 3 minutes, it got worse. And when he pulled the trigger on some really bad stuff, I do think at that point, in hindsight, you would have been better switching out with a different lineup. I think it's hard to do that in the moment. And so I'm critical of Dylan for those last couple of shots he missed that he right. took. I can't be super critical of Taylor Jenkins for in the moment leaving him in the game, given the alternatives, given his history with the team, given that you were winning a defensive game and he was part of that. And so I can't, you know, in hindsight, I do think that would have been the right move, but I'm not going to be too critical of Taylor Jenkins for that in particular.
Well, I thought it was, you asked Taylor, you know, why he continued to ride with them or what, you know, whatever, like, and Taylor said, shots didn't go in for him. He said that, you know, he was making plays, blah, blah, blah. But he mostly said, I trust that guy. He said, I trust that guy. And my sense coming away from it was, in the end, given the history, given everything, I think, like you, I don't have as much problem with Taylor Jenkins trusting that guy as I did with what Dylan Brooks did with the trust. You know,
yeah,
he completely took it and did not, you know. And I don't know, like, I can't get into the mind of Dylan Brooks, but I know shooters shoot. Go ahead.
And I think, Dylan did not talk after the game. I referenced this in the column. I sort of wasn't sure if I should, but like, when I walked back, it wasn't even a room. It was like a roped off area where they created this little space for their visiting team to talk. It was right next to the training room for visitors, and the door was wide open. And when I walked by, you could see him sitting on the table with his back to the door, like hunched over, and some Grizzly staffer with their arm around him, like trying to console him. So I don't, my sense is he didn't leave that game saying with like bravado, like I did nothing wrong. I think he probably thinks he did, that he let his team down, honestly.
Well, what's weird though, is that like after game one, he said, if I had played better, we would have won that game. So he believed after that game, he let his, what the disconnect is, and maybe it just like Jeff Green had this disconnect. Rudy Gay at some points of his career has had it when he was a Grizzly. He doesn't take it from, okay, I let my team down by taking bad shots. I won't then take bad shots. Like
here's the thing, though.
Yes.
We've been talking about this about Dylan Brooks for a few years. This
right.
the disconnect between his offensive ability and his offensive aggression. And I think in these playoffs that came roaring back. Last playoffs, he was awesome.
I know.
He averaged 25 points a game on good shooting in the postseason last year. And so, like, to me, it was a little bit of a mystery. Like, what's Dylan Brooks going to look like the second go around in the playoffs? Because he was not this last season. He was great, and I don't know if he was going to be this or be great again. Like, it was an unknown. And what happened was he was back to the more familiar Dylan Brooks, the erratic Dylan Brooks. Last night was not the worst shooting game he's had in these playoffs. Like, at 5-19 is not the worst shooting game he's had in these playoffs. He's also had multiple 20-point games with good shooting numbers. And so, like, it's the up and down. And when you've had that many ups in playoff games, when he's had, I'm guessing now, if you put the two together, like 8 or 9 playoff games that with 20-plus points, like, you know, only John Morant on this team has probably done more than that. When you've had that success in the postseason, you believe you're going to have it again. And so I think it's back to being a long-term question about his proper role, you know, in the pecking order. But – you know, him believing, like, I'm a guy who's gonna make these shots and have these games, like, he has done it.
Yeah, it's on average he hasn't. Like, on average, what's interesting is I saw people, like, everyone was commenting on Dylan Brooks last night. Two stats, I don't know who Andy Bailey is, but he tweeted out two different stats. Among the 490 players in NBA history with at least 5,000 minutes and 1,000 three-point attempts, Dylan Brooks is 490th. That's among 490 in career box plus minus, and 367th in e-field goal percentage, an effective field goal percentage. But then he also tweeted, interestingly enough, during his 5 years there, Memphis's point is plus 0.6 points per 100 possessions with Dylan Brooks on the floor, and minus 3.2 with him off the floor. over the course of his career, they've been much better with Dylan on the floor than off.
Yeah, defense is basketball too. I say this sometimes. He's a if you add up the total plus minus of all the games in these playoffs, he's a plus. And he's been a plus in some games where he shot terribly. That was not the case last night. But there have been games where he's shot terribly, and the Grizzlies have won the game, and his minutes have been a plus. And so that's why I just, you know, I didn't feel like – I felt like he was, like, hurting the team with his offense, but I felt like lots of guys were hurting the team with their offense. Right. He was the only person to have a terrible offensive game for the first three quarters of that game. It's just that his continued all the way to the very end. Like, you know, Jaren Jackson and – I mean, you look up, Jaren Jackson missed as many shots as Dylan Brooks, but Jaren Jackson had a better offensive game than Dylan Brooks. Tyus Jones got into a group. Kyle Anderson got into a group. You had some guys who were starting to, like, you know, Steven Adams. You had some guys who were starting to figure some stuff out and generate some offense without John Morant. And Dylan never got there.
Going forward, I don't know if you are surprised by this, but the Grizzlies are continuing to evaluate John Morant. You were able to evaluate him as he was walking around in slippers last night, yesterday. I mean, at shoot around, like, he's limping. Yeah. He had a perceptible limp.
He was limping. The limp seemed less pronounced than it had the night before, but yeah, he was limping around. I mean, my expectation is he is, even though he was listed as doubtful and Taylor Jenkins did not close the door on anything last night, my assumption is that the door is closed. And my assumption is that once the season is over, we'll find out more about what's going on and what's going to happen with it. And do I wish we knew more now? Of course I do. But, like, you know, you can't tie people down and, like, force them to tell you things. Like, you could just ask, and then they don't. And then, like, right. It's frustrating.
It is weird, isn't it, that, like, you know, with Gary Payton, it's like, or whatever. Like, typically with a club, there's results in the MRI, and they come out. And the MRI showed he had a blank, and he's going to be out for this number of weeks and whatever else. It's just, I mean, I don't think anyone's fooled on this one, though. So it's, you know, I guess we are where we are. Steven Adams.
We may not be fooled, but we have no idea.
Right.
We have no idea. I think he is hurt to the degree that he can't play. But what that actually means is an enormous range of things.
Yes.
Now, he is just walking around, right? But, like, you can be walking around and need, like, major knee surgery. I'm not saying he needs major knee surgery, but the point is they've left the mystery there to where we have no idea.
Steven Adams was good.
Yes. He was. I think a sneaky thing about this series is him getting COVID. And if he doesn't get COVID, I think we're 2-2 coming back to Memphis because I think they win game one. Where they lost by 1 point. And, you know, last night when they were held that lead into the final minute, I thought if Steven Adams doesn't get COVID, they're up 3-1 going home. And I think that's a big thing in the series. I think Taylor Jenkins made a mistake not going to him probably in game three. But game three, they lost by 30 points. That may have been a bad decision. That was not a bad decision that cost you a game. But I think if Adams had not been in safety protocols, he would have started game one. And I think they probably would have won that game. I think he showed last night that he helps in the series. The pluses are greater than the minuses with him in this series.
Yeah, I said earlier, in an alternate universe where Steven Adams didn't have COVID and Ja is healthy, you can absolutely imagine the Grizzlies winning this series, 100%.
The Grizzlies, I wrote this in the column, but the Grizzlies have not played and will not play, it doesn't look like, a single second, not 1 second in the series with their five starters all available.
Yeah. Jaren also, like, did you feel like Taylor Jenkins, there's no reason not to use your challenge at the point on the Steph flop at the end just because so little time remained, but I don't think it would have been overturned. Do you?
No, I agree with both of those assessments. I asked him about that too, and he said, he did confirm that, like, you know, he asked his assistants who were looking at the video, and they said they didn't think it would get overturned. But at that point, I mean, what are the odds of there being another challengeable play after that when you're in the last minute of a game? And so I don't see any point in not using it.
Yeah,
and I do think, while it would not have been overturned, it probably should have been because that was a total flop.
It was
barely
total flop, but there was enough contact that they would not have overturned it.
The two hands did make contact with the back. Even if there was no push that actually caused that, the fact that the two hands touched the back, they probably are not going to overturn that call.
And Jaren's shot against Draymond, the one that rimmed in and out, like, that was fine. That was a good shot, right? That's what you wanted. Like, it didn't go in. Jaren said that afterward. I just missed.
Yeah, I haven't been able to rewatch the clip on that. I've only seen it live. The idea of him getting a shot, yes, I think. Yeah, it was hard generating shots last night. And so that's a shot I would want. I'm not the openness of it, I'd have to go back and look. But the idea of Jaren getting a three in that situation is fine by me. And he missed seven. It was a weird – and that was kind of a bummer because Jaren had a great game other than missing the three-pointer.
No, I don't mean that. The three-pointer was contested. The previous shot that rolled in where he tried to go to the rim on –
Totally.
100%
good
shot.
No,
the three-pointer was forced. The three-pointer was 100% forced. It is fairly staggering to watch Draymond Green hectoring the officials perpetually and to see Kyle tossed for questioning what went on. I mean, it's just like, I don't know what you do at this point, but it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, I actually talked to Kyle sort of casually that morning. I asked him, like, what happened with the first – like, it's clear what happened with the second tech. He asked for the second tech. He followed the referee around the court.
Right.
But I asked him what happened with the first tech. And, you know, I wasn't down there. Maybe he said something he's not sharing. But he said, I don't know. I sort of waved my hand at him and in disgust. And according to him, that's the only reason he got the tech. And from a physical demonstration standpoint, Draymond Green got called for a foul and literally ran in a full circle, as he did in Memphis, around the half court yelling. And so, to me, that contrast is a little much.
All right. I'd say safe travels, but you don't have anything to do with it. So, I presume you'll get back here safely, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read his piece. Isn't it cool that a St. Jude kid
had the courage
to be wearing a Dylan Brooks jersey, repping your hood, baby?
If you get through the St. Jude treatment, right, you can get through anything.
You can certainly then wear a Dylan Brooks jersey. Yeah. It was just the best. You can read about it over at the Daily Memphian. We will get to Fish on Friday on Tuesday next. Redeemers Group is who you call if, listen, stock market's dying, but your house is still worth a lot of money. And that is still true. It is the most valuable thing you own. And if you have some issue that is one of the, foundation issue or a concrete issue or a water in the basement issue or a floor sink, just call them. Because they'll send someone out to your home free of charge and let you know if anything's going on. If something is going on, they will come up with a permanent solution for you. If not, you have the comfort of knowing it's not a real problem. The phone number for Redeemers Group is 390-9448, 390-9448. On the web at redeemersgroup.com. Back in a minute with Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
ESPN. Joined now by Charles Fishman. He's our man in Washington, D.C., author of three New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a three-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing, a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand. We're giving him a little short shrift today because we had so much Grizzlies to talk about. Plus, we don't want to tax him because Charles, for the first time ever, has COVID. Charles, how are things from the COVID front?
Well, I can give you the live update on my vitals. I have my pulse oximeter,
mm-hmm.
my O2 meter on my finger right now, yep. on purpose. My pulse is 68. My O2 saturation,
yeah, that's what
is
matters.
97.
Beautiful, beautiful. You're
just
fine.
Dropped to 96. Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. My yep. pull ratings are not that high. My better half is exactly 12 feet to the right of me here on the back porch where I'm sitting to prevent my talk from creating an infectious cloud. And, we were so excited last week to talk about Walmart, Bentonville.
You'd just been to Bentonville. Yeah, you were in Bentonville. Huh? You were in Bentonville.
I was in
yeah.
Bentonville. I was live from Bentonville. And that was Tuesday. Flew home, did some more reporting on Tuesday. Flew home Tuesday night through the completely insane Charlotte International Airport. And I literally didn't get back into the house until about 11:30. And at 5:30 in the morning, 7 hours later, hadn't been home 7 hours, when I got a COVID notification email from Walmart saying that one of the people I had spoken to on Monday had tested positive. So my wife and I slept in the same bed in the same room on Tuesday. And then literally from that moment, 5:45, 6 a.m., when I read that email, just groaned. I immediately moved out of the bedroom, and we've been isolating from each other since then. Some people would find that delightful after, we've been married 26, 27 years. I do not. We're not enjoying it. We are not enjoying it. And
but you've also kept her from, because she now is also isolated. So rather than being solicitous of your condition,
no, she thinks she used the word a-hole this morning
to describe you,
wants,
a victim.
Yes, she wants you guys to know that there's very limited. She's really good at. She's a genius in many arenas, and one of them is that she has sympathy for me while holding me in furious contempt.
Because you didn't wear a mask.
Well,
you went with the natural state. Yeah, go ahead. But you went... Yeah.
Well, she's now... She falls into the exposed category, right? So she is not supposed to... She's supposed to limit all her activities so that if she has it, she doesn't give it to other people. Right, so I immediately got it. I didn't immediately get it, but I woke up Wednesday, isolated on Wednesday. Thursday, we had a lot of excitement, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And I sort of started to feel a little sick, like allergy sick. Tested negative Friday morning. I was so miserable that I woke up at 5:15. This is a sign of how carefully prepared we are. We not only have self-tests in the house, we have three different pharmaceutical company manufacturer self-tests, three different kinds of tests. And I've actually never seen a positive one. And I took three, and they were all positive. I took them in a row.
How do you feel? Well, how do you positive. Feel? How do you feel?
How do I sound? I feel crappy. But
and you've had it now for since Thursday would be the onset of symptoms, and it's now Tuesday.
Certainly Thursday would be the onset of symptoms. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, day six. And I'm taking this, very...
The antiviral thing. Yeah, right, the drug.
Very advanced antiviral medicine called Paxlovid, which was so good, they stopped the clinical trials, saving people's lives. My throat is so sore most of the time that I can't swallow. I mean, it has kept my sore throat has kept me up three nights in a row. I really haven't slept in three nights. So, but we're not walking around wondering if I'm going to die, right? My O2 has never been lower than 97, 96. No trouble breathing. Never had a fever. Haven't missed a dog walk. The one thing I've been determined to do is do the dog walk. So, but my wife has missed some important events.
But doesn't this fit into the idea that at this point, as long as you're vaccinated, we look up who has it now.
I think this fits into the governor. Idea that you should wear a mask. I went to these Walmart interviews, and I wouldn't say that I was bullied by peer pressure into not wearing a mask. I've been at plenty of places where I've worn a mask or even two masks, and not everybody was. the sense of confidence that the people of Northwest Arkansas exude, they've been doing this 6 months, they're obviously not all, you know, dropping by the wayside. And so I just thought, well, for one afternoon, from 1 to 5, I'll be okay. And here I am. You know, here I am. My wife doesn't know this.
We're not going to wear masks, Charles. You've been here. We're like, I'll be honest.
I'm not recommending it, man. I'm done recommending. I'm retired. Unlike Fauci, I'm retired.
Okay.
I'm retired from the advice business.
Right. Well, we hope you feel better. And it does, I will say.
It's not, but I'm not. That's really important. I am not at risk of my life, knock wood.
No one thinks you are here. Like, no one thinks you are.
No. I'm not.
Any more than if you had a cold, you would be.
I'm observing that I'm not. But that's different than it would have been 2 years ago.
Certainly.
So we appreciate all the care we've taken in our family. And it's possible I could have avoided getting it by wearing a mask.
For the rest of your life.
That at some point you're going to get it. But getting it doesn't mean you're not going to get it again. I've looked that all up. I'm only safe for about 8 weeks. I'm an unusual character. I've had the J&J vaccine, no one in the public knows this. Then when they said J&J wasn't strong enough to be sustainable, get a booster, I got Pfizer because that's what I could get quickly. I had gotten J&J one dose, Pfizer. Then when it was okay to get a booster, I got Moderna because the science, including my son, the scientist, says, get Moderna. And now I've had COVID. So I've had all three vaccines and COVID. So I should good to go.
It does feel like there is a little bit of a wave of it, doesn't it? Like you look up and lots of people that you've heard of have it now. It feels like the governor of New York has it. Who else has it?
Anthony Blinken has it. Tony Blinken has it. David Faber. David Faber, the reporter for CNBC, who I very much admire, does a great job. He did exactly what I did. Hasn't had it. Was reporting at a big conference, 3,500 people in person. Boom. Got COVID. So,
and Jennifer Biggs, she posted about it on Facebook. She has it. So, it feels like a lot of people have it. Anyway, we do hope.
But here's the thing.
Yes, go
ahead.
Here's
the thing. We have no idea because I self-tested. I was literally on Twitter this morning, and a friend of mine said D.C. isn't even reporting its numbers anymore, and that reminded me to go report my positive case to the health department at D.C.
Yeah, nobody's doing that. No one's doing that.
Which I did. I filled out the form, and I tweeted a link. If you live in D.C., which you don't, you can self-report. Was that? Did you hear the helicopters? That's a classic Washington, D.C. moment, the big helicopters whacking away overhead. Anyway.
All right, I want to move on. I want to move on to other things.
We're going
to
run out of time. Let's have a brief report from Jeffrey. Jeffrey Wright went with his bride to a Michelin one-star restaurant yesterday. His first ever Michelin is the, you know, the restaurant.
Is one-star good? I would avoid a one-star.
One Michelin star, you can work your whole life and never get one star. One star is entry level, but it is spectacular. All the Yelp reviews, I looked this restaurant up because we honeymooned in Paris too. Our kids like going to Paris. My kids would love a Michelin star restaurant. It's exactly the kind of restaurant that everybody in my family would like except me. There's no menu. You make a reservation 10 weeks in advance, and they serve you what they want to cook that day. And that's what you
I can't
eat.
Imagine Jeffrey would like that. He likes what he likes.
Oh, he absolutely, absolutely loved it.
What did they serve him?
He said it was epic. And then they flew Memphis, Atlanta, Heathrow, Paris.
Sounds fun.
And both their bags were lost. They still have not provided Aaliyah her bag. They got Jeffrey his
bag. That's the wrong person to give the bag to, by the way. Get her bag first.
$600. Yes. We've spent $600 getting Aaliyah clothes that are appropriate for her to wear on her honeymoon in Paris. I can totally sympathize with that. So that's why he's cranky, although I must say, four different airports.
You wanted to give people some advice about their finances because we only have 3 minutes left. We have 3 minutes left.
This is really important.
Go ahead.
It is a great moment to join your 401k, to join your company or charity or university savings plan, whatever it is, right now. And if you're in, log on and increase your savings.
Why? The market is tanking. The market is tanking.
The market is tanking. The time to save is when the market is tanking. Really simple. If you have $10,000 on January 1 and you save $100 a month, at the end of the year, you have $11,000 if nothing happens.
Right.
If the stock market goes up during the course of the year, rises steadily to June, and then falls back to exactly where it was on January 1st at the end of the year, you actually lose money during the course of the year because you were buying as the stock market was going up, and then it was coming down. But conversely, if you're saving $100 a month or $400 a month, and the stock market goes down, and then it comes only back up to where it was at the start of the year,
yeah,
you make money because you are, quote-unquote, buying the dip. This is the moment to increase. Just add 1%.
But it's not the moment to go 5%. Take a huge chunk of money and put it in the market. It's not dollar cost averaging.
To go buy a specific stock. It's the moment to increase your steady savings in a savings plan or retirement plan, because it will help you. Yesterday, I went online and increased our 401k from 12.5% to 15%. So we are losing 2.5% of the paycheck. It's nothing to what everybody can afford, 2%, 1%. But what we did was increase the amount of savings by 20%. The amount we're saving increased 20%. And that will go in there steadily as the market drops. And then the market will come back up. So the moment to add is now. One important moment. Yesterday with the Pulitzer Prizes, the Washington Post won the big prize. That's why my wife is angry at me. A guy who started life at the University of Buffalo and the Buffalo News, Marcus Yam, brilliant photographer, trained as an aeronautical engineer in Buffalo, and then joined the Buffalo News and found photography, won the Photography Pulitzer for pictures of the fall of Afghanistan. Really, really brilliant. Young man, Marcus Yam, just graduated from college in 2006, so he's in his mid-30s.
Where could one see those photos?
I will text you guys link to pictures.
Tweet them out.
You can post them.
C. Fishman. On Twitter, at C. Fishman. Get well, Charles. Get well fast. Brad, what's coming up next on 92.9?
We're going to have Jessica Benson on from the Grizzlies Radio Network at 11:25. Mark is traveling, so we'll have him on with Giannotto and Jeffrey. Connor's holding it down, of course, because, as we said, Jeffrey is in transit, I guess, and trying all his stuff on his honeymoon. Gary live at 4 will do the 6 o'clock show, all Grizzlies hour, 6 to 7.
I don't know what that means, trying on all his stuff on his honeymoon.
Well, he's trying to get through airlines, trying to get to where he wants to be, which is Paris.
Well, we made it through, everybody. We made it through this very difficult day, and we will be back tomorrow to try again. Brad, thanks very much. Thanks for listening. Yeah. For now, our work is done.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.